the undeserved love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the mercy of God be with you all. Amen. As I mentioned, the Old Testament lesson is the one we want to focus on this morning, the account of David and Goliath. Just a couple of verses to note out of those many that I read before. Verse 11, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Verses 45, 46, and 47. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Christ Jesus, our champion. So if you were to read this section of the Old Testament for the first time, and reading through it, you were called on to put a title at the beginning of the chapter. What kind of a title would you have for 1 Samuel chapter 17, the account of David and Goliath? I have a couple. How about this one? The making of a man. Referring to David. He was probably only a late teenager at this point in his life. So, making of a man, right? He goes up against Goliath, making of a man. Another one. This is more of an explanation. David was stronger than the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him without a sword in his hand. A remark by the historian with reference to the result of the conflict. Do you really think David was actually that much stronger than Goliath? You think so? Another one. Anyone can teach the story of David and Goliath. It's a natural. A good little man whips a big, bad man. What do you think of those titles? You like them? Accurate? Waste of ink and paper? Anyone who settles on just those summaries of the account of David against Goliath miss the main point of everything recorded for us by the sacred writer. Don't they? After all, it's not just simply about David. It's rather about the one in whom David trusted, who blessed him, strengthened him, and saw him through even this huge conflict. And David attributes everything to the Lord his God, doesn't he? Instead, maybe we should summarize this whole section with the same theme that we have for our sermon this morning. Because really, those are the words that David himself used to summarize this whole conflict. Even though he's not the one who recorded it in the sacred scriptures, his words certainly fit perfectly to summarize all of it. The battle is the Lord's. David said that. That was his confidence. That was because of the fact that he wanted to be sure everyone understood, first of all, that they should not lose heart, that they should also recognize it was the Lord who was going to deliver him and all the army of the people of Israel. And they were all to know this. Not just the people of Israel, but even the Philistines. They were all to know there is a God in Israel. And his name is the Lord. All capital letters in our English translation, which means, Mary's not here this morning, Savior God. Yes, who said that? Excellent. Thank you, Norma. This is the Savior God, the God of the promise of the Old Testament throughout. It talks about the promised coming Savior. God's people, Israel, were arrayed against one of their foremost and most formidable enemies, the Philistines, always causing problems for the people of Israel. And so it was also true this particular occasion recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But they had a special super weapon, or so they thought, in this man by the name of Goliath. How tall was he? That tall. Over 9 feet tall. And it's no wonder then, we're told, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. I would have been too. To see somebody standing that tall with a metal helmet on his head? With a spear that long and heavier than you and I could lift? Coming up against anyone who is foolish enough to oppose him. That was Goliath's challenge to the people of Israel. He said, choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. It's no wonder the people of Israel, the army, the soldiers, the nation of Israel were terrified. Only if they were looking at it from the perspective of merely human, earthly eyes that saw only the threat in the foreground and not the one who was behind them. Because David comes along, and he's ready and willing. A teenager? Oh, we could say that, well, yeah, that's just youthful excitement and courage, right? Arrogance and figuring that he could just do whatever. He was strong enough. Hang on. Think about it again. This was the army of the nation of Israel, the chosen people of God. And Saul was king, first king, by the way, who is described in the Old Testament, just a couple of chapters before that of our text, as a man who was handsome, he was appealing in appearance, and he stood a head taller than everybody else. So he stood out from the crowd. Not 9 feet tall, but he was taller than the rest of the people of Israel. And so everybody thought, oh, that's got to be the guy. And God appointed him to be king over Israel, who was to lead the army of Israel into battle and rule his people. And he's the one who led them in cowering in the background. This guy by the name of Saul failed miserably in his God-given role. And so the Lord rejected him, we're told in the chapter just before that of our text. He wasn't interested in in following what God had called on him to do. He wasn't one who was all that dedicated to the Lord and his word. In fact, he disobeyed God directly by offering a sacrifice that only a priest was supposed to do. And then when it came to doing his job, he failed miserably. So God rejected him and chose instead this young boy by the name of David. 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord made sure that Samuel, the prophet at the time, understood that it was not by outward appearance that he was going to pick someone to replace Saul, but rather on the basis of the heart. And so we're told by Peter in the New Testament book of Acts, after removing Saul, God made David their king. He testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." And we see that in the attitude of young David, don't we? When he is ready and willing to go into battle against this formidable enemy, in spite of how big he was, how massive, how terrifying he might have been, because David trusted in the Lord and God's strength, not his own. And he simply went into battle with whatever he had on hand, 5 stones and a slingshot, up against this 9-foot, 9-inch monster, full of confidence because, as he said, the battle is the Lord's. He trusted in the Lord Almighty. And why do you think this is the story on the first Sunday in Lent? Can you think of any reason why this particular account would be the Old Testament lesson for today? I really wanted to preach on the gospel lesson for today. That's the key section for the first Sunday in Lent. Because it focuses our attention on our champion, Jesus, our dear Savior, who went toe-to-toe, face-to-face, head-to-head with Satan himself for 40 days in the wilderness and crushed and conquered him, relying on his heavenly Father every single time, didn't he? When Satan came against him because of the hunger that he endured, Jesus responded with the word of the Lord that everyone depends not on physical food, but instead on the word of God. Second temptation came against him with the whole idea that, well, the Lord is going to protect you, so why don't you go ahead and try it out? And Jesus responded again, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And the third one, "Bow down and worship me," Satan said, "and I'll give you all this, every kingdom of the earth." And Jesus again responded, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only," every step of the way, relying on his heavenly Father. And isn't that the focus then also of our lives? Isn't that the lesson that David in the Old Testament teaches us as well? He didn't go up relying on his own strength. He didn't just simply go and do something stupid and foolish. He knew the Lord was on his side. And he was absolutely sure and confident that the Lord would in fact give him the victory. And David was certainly not disappointed, was he? So what about when we go up against our Goliaths? Whatever they may be. Maybe an illness. Maybe suffering loss. Maybe just simply a difficulty at work or at home or whatever it might be. Those things oftentimes loom large in our eyes too. If we too are only looking at it from earthly eyes and perspective. Take note of what David does by making sure we understand this battle too is the Lord's. And that's why we do not need to lose heart. Because the Lord has promised He will deliver us. All the outward appearances as far as David, this young teenager going up against Goliath, 9'9", foolish, right? Reckless, ridiculous, stupid even, right? Insane. But God says different. God, in His Word, makes it very plain. And those who trust in Him can do what David did by responding instead in this way. When He says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day." David was certainly not going to let it stand that this unbeliever would, in fact, in any way besmirch the good reputation of the Lord his God. He said, "This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." David wanted people to understand, you're not in this all by yourself. And neither am I. There is a God among the people of God. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. And didn't our Savior exhibit the exact same confidence out in the wilderness? Well, yes, but as the Son of God, He could do that. But you notice, Jesus, in going up against Satan, did not use His almighty divine power as the Son of God. He used the almighty power of the Word of God that has been entrusted to you and me as well. Remember, the battle is the Lord's. You do not need to lose heart because the Lord has promised He will deliver you. What promises has He given you as a child of God? Baptized into the Lord and into His power, you know for sure He is always with you to the very end of the age. So He has promised and said. You also know that all things will work out for the good of those who love Him. So He has said. That's why you can take to heart the words of Joshua as well when he says, "Be strong and very courageous." The Lord says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So that we too may know that there is a God in Israel. David's confidence was sure and certain, and so he goes up against Goliath with what? A couple of stones and his slingshot. We're told, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead and he fell face down to the ground. Was that because David was so skilled with his slingshot? Was it because he was so experienced in using that weapon that he could make sure that stone hit exactly Goliath square in the forehead? There should be no question in our hearts or our minds. Unless, of course, we're only looking at it with earthly eyes and human logic, we would say, "Oh yeah, David must have been a really good shot." Not a chance. Because according to the Holy Spirit-inspired account that stands before us, and even David's own evidences, think of the many psalms in which David accredits God for everything that he accomplished, all the blessings that were his. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." David would certainly testify as well. That is, it was the Lord and his mighty strength that enabled this victory to be won. And so it is also true in the life of our Savior and our lives as well. Not luck, not good fortune, not all those other excuses that all too often we simply go to because we're so familiar with them. Credit God for everything that you have and are, because the battle is the Lord's. His victory is our victory. Jesus proved it on Calvary's cross by once and for all defeating Satan in our place, paying for our sins by his precious blood, and even conquering death by his mighty resurrection on Easter. With that victory in our hearts and our lives, we too can be sure every single day, the battle is the Lord's. May it so be also for you. Amen. Now let that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in our Victor Jesus, our Savior. Amen.